1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night of Europa League action with Celtic already underway in Copenhagen. Braga are the visitors to Ibrox later, with Rangers looking to put indifferent domestic form to one side. And Aberdeen are through in the Scottish Cup after a dramatic 7-goal thriller at Kilmarnock. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Well, what a night we've got, Gordon. European football back and really at the business end now, out the group stages into where it matters now, and it's already underway. And what a start it's been to this game in 7 minutes already. You know, two big chances for Celtic, but also could have conceded. It's a very open game. Celtic certainly not sitting back at this stage. And of course in Glasgow, Rangers with a tough, tough tie against Braga, a team who's went to away to Wolves, Porto, Sporting Lisbon and got victories. Is going to be a tough night for them also.
Two huge chances for Celtic already, Gordon. I'm not really sure how this works. If you take the rebounds into account, it was four big chances, but obviously that doesn't quite work that way. Odson Edouard, you usually back him one-on-one. He's been through one-on-one twice. The second one, the keeper got off the line very quickly, in fairness. But the first one, inside 27 seconds, you would have expected him to score.
Yeah, 7-8 minutes on the clock, Gordon. You've got to say, a very open game so far. Celtic could have got off to a terrific start. Ball goes through, we're watching it, thinking 1-0 Celtic, what a start that is. I give a bit of credit to the goalkeeper, but you would expect someone of the quality of Edouard to put that away. Same chance 2 or 3 minutes later, and you're thinking, will he put this one away? A little bit harder, I've got to say, so give the goalkeeper all the credit. But Celtic have got to be careful. Ayer, being a bit slack, caused a little bit of problems for the defence, but I think Celtic look right up for this. They're very attack-minded in their lineup, and I think their goals here.
Right, the number you need tonight is 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB, so don't hang about. Get in touch nice and early and let us know what is on your mind. If you're a Celtic fan, watch the game with us. I know many of you will be shouting at the TV, shouting at the radio, so just come and shout at us instead. We can go through all the big talking points. And Rangers fans, particularly keen to hear from you. If you're on your way to the game or you're settling down to watch it, this is your last chance to let us know how you're feeling. Are you confident? Are you nervous after some indifferent domestic form? And most importantly, come and pick your team, because until such times as Steven Gerrard names his, your guess is as good as anyone. So get on here, let us know who should play. You can contact us on the phones or on Twitter. Celtic lined up as follows: Forster and goal, a back four of Frimpong, Ayer, Julian and Hayes, Brown and McGregor the holding two, Forrest, Cham and Christie. In behind, Odson Edouard on the bench, Bain, Bolingoli, Simunovic, Beaton, Rogic, El Yunusi and Bio. Mark Wilson, a revert back to the 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, I did think that on Sunday. I thought going away from home, it's just a wee bit more stability. Even thought if Griffiths would fit, was fit, he would still play 4-2-3-1 with Edouard up there. And it's a shape that Celtic are familiar with. You know, it's a great thing to have, that you can change from a 3-5-2 to a 4-2-3-1 and, you know, possibly still get the same results. Everybody's still comfortable within that. You know, it's a bonus for Celtic that Frimpong's back, because in a back four, you know, he gives so much up that right hand side, and it allows you to put Christie, you know, out in the right hand side tonight, cutting in his left foot. And you showed in 25 seconds where he cuts in his left foot and plays that wee straight ball for the Edouard chance. Forrest coming off the left side. So plenty of attacking options. Looking at this first 10 minutes, I mean, Celtic, okay, they've gave up that opportunity. Copenhagen could have scored as well, but they look really comfortable in possession, in control. Anytime it goes forward, they look like they can score at any time. There is gaps in this defence. They look nervy, Copenhagen at the back. So it'll be an interesting night, but I think Neil Lennon will be hopeful that his team can get at least one goal to take back to Celtic Park.
We'll never really know if it would have been 3-5-2, because Lee Griffiths isn't fit, Gordon, and you might say that Neil Lennon's hand has been forced. Jeremy Frimpong's on the ball at the moment. He comes in for his European debut. Has actually missed the last 7 games due to injury, and he's back in tonight.
Yeah, I'm delighted. You know my thoughts on the young lad. I love watching him play football. I just think that you're talking about 3-5-2, 4-2-3-1, whatever it may be. The one thing is a very attacking lineup, Gordon. Two fullbacks are playing high up the pitch. Now remember, Celtic away from home, usually you think, yeah, it'll be a 4-2-3-1, make it a bit tighter to, you know, for Copenhagen to break us down the home side. Celtic are on the front foot, very attacking. Two fullbacks, Hayes, Frimpong, high up the pitch. And look at the forwards they've got there. They've got four guys, Forrest, Edward, they've got Cham and Christie, right high up the pitch. They fancy goals tonight.
Celtic fans, what have you made of the opening 10 minutes? And Rangers fans, what are you expecting at Ibrox tonight? Pick your starting 11. Who should play? 01419511025. Let's get a flavour of the build-up with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, well, it's a massive night for Rangers as they play knockout stage European football for the first time since 2011. They also played Portuguese opponents in the last 32 that year. They put out Sporting Lisbon before being knocked out by PSV in the next round. Steven Gerrard's hoping a performance tonight will help reignite their season. But they'll need some big performances from some big players, and what they would do for Alfredo Morelos to rediscover his top form tonight. He's got 14 goals in 14 games in Europe this season, including being the top goal scorer in the group stages with 6 goals. Borna Barisic is back available tonight, and you think that would be a big boost because some of his best displays in a Rangers shirt have come in this competition. He got 3 assists in that group phase. Ryan Jack does miss this one through suspension. He was sent off against Young Boys here in the group stage. Defoe and Helland are still out through injury, and Braga have been in incredible form since their new coach came in. 8 wins from 9 games. They're also unbeaten in their last 13 European matches. I'll bring you full team news when it drops.
Interesting, Gordon, when the draw was made, I think everyone acknowledged it would be tough, but there was an air of optimism around Rangers. Since then, Braga have got a new coach and have gone on an incredible run, and since then Rangers' domestic form has dipped. So it will be interesting to see if Europe can bring out the best in Steven Gerrard's
yeah,
side.
Yeah, I just feel that at times, especially this season, Gordon, I think Rangers look a different side in Europe. I really do. It'll be interesting to hear how the pitch holds up, because it was documented the weekend and Saturday were unplayable. Got the game against Livingston. A lot of rain has fallen since then, Gordon. So it will be heavy. Will it cut up at the warm-up? I wonder if that will play a part in it. But Rangers have just got to get out there in front of that huge crowd. Atmosphere will be terrific. And try and get something to take to Portugal. The Celtic must score. And they have.
And they do this time. Oddson Eduard doesn't miss many. He's missed two already, so you knew the next chance had a high chance of going in the back of the net. And what a composed finish that is. He just takes the ball inside the box on his left foot, and as the keeper comes out, he just dinks it over the keeper into the far corner. And it's Copenhagen 0 Celtic 1, 14 minutes gone. Dream start.
We were talking about that, yeah. Sorry Matt, we were talking about his first one when we went through 1-1, and we said, how many times do you see Eduard just dinking the ball over a keeper, wait till he commits it, and then just dink it over him? This time he waits for the goalkeeper to come out. Cool as a cucumber. Absolute terrific start. You've got to say it was coming. Celtic have absolutely dominated this game. That is a quality finish,
Mark. It's a great quality. It's a great move as well. Christie, yeah, driving and cutting in from the right hand side, playing a nice composed pass to McGregor. One touch from him into, yeah, Edward. The finish is so composed.
It's a brilliant goal all round. You know, Copenhagen on the attack, Celtic break it up, first pass is forward. Christie, like I said, drives in, comes in his left foot, and there's still a lot to do. You know, McGregor's showed composure first of all, because I'm thinking he's going to shoot. Passes to McGregor, his first touch, kills it dead, quick pass to Edward, and you'll not see a better finish than that. That's composed. And you think maybe after he's missed his first couple that he would maybe lash at that. It just shows how composed Edward is. Dinks over. Terrific start for
I'm
Celtic.
I'm going a bit early here, Mark. If Celtic keep this up, this tie could be over tonight.
Well, they're into the box again. Callum McGregor twisting and turning. He eventually gets it taken off his toes. So Celtic fans, you get in touch and let us know what you've made of the start. And Rangers fans, what are you expecting at Ibrox? Are you confident? Are you nervous? Are you somewhere in between? And who should start for your side tonight? 01419511025. We're just about to take a call and it's disappeared. We'll try and get that caller back. But yeah, clearly Neil Lennon will be delighted.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the Copenhagen team, I'm not taking anything away from Celtic, but they don't look like the home team, do they? I mean, the Copenhagen are sitting back. They're allowing Celtic loads of space. And we've seen in our domestic league, if you allow Celtic to do that, they've got the guys like Christie and Edward and Forrest who will punish you. Now, we're 15 minutes in and Celtic have had 3 clear-cut chances, missed 2 and scored another. And it looks like Daz is right. I mean, it looks like they'll get another couple of chances before this half's out, never mind the full 90. So Neil Lennon set his team up great, and the players are responding to it. They look hungry. They look like they can smell blood, and they look like they want to kill this tie off tonight.
I know that the home side has been the winter break over there, Gordon. They're just back, but Celtic look a lot sharper so far.
Yeah,
and we're going with 16 minutes in the clock, but you just got a feel for the game. If Celtic keep their composure at the back, concentration, don't give anything away, like either we slip up early on. Certainly with the attacking power they've got, the way they're knocking the ball about, creating chances, they will get more goals.
First caller just disappeared, so a good chance for you to step up to the plate and take the place. 01419511025. Let's hear from you right now, especially if you're going to head along to Ibrox. What are you expecting? If you're going to watch it on TV, even who should play? That's always the question at this time of the match day, Gordon. Can you see any surprises, any big calls for Steven Gerrard?
Not really. I think Jack will be a big miss. I think he's tailor-made for this game tonight. It'll be interesting to see what he goes with the midfield in there. Will he? He'll keep his same shape, Gordon. He very seldom changes shape. I think it's a big night for Morelos to start scoring again. And look, he's a quality player. He's a goal scorer. He'll eventually keep banging the ball in the back of net. I think the big night's for guys like Kent, who was bought for $7 million, to start producing the goods, because he's come in for a bit of criticism. But it'll be interesting to see what his team lineup is. But if he gets off to the right start, gets a good pace about it, I think Rangers can get something tonight. I really do.
Miserable night for football, but hopefully some good entertaining action to heat you all up. If you're going along, I think tonight's first caller is going along to Ibrox. Let's see if we can speak to Chris on the line. Chris is in Dumbarton. I think he is heading along to the game tonight. Is that right, Chris? Hi, Chris. You got us?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Loud and clear. No, that's fine, Chris. What are you expecting tonight?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough game. I mean, there's a number of things we need to take into consideration. The pitch always has been one of the biggies. It's been well documented. We don't know how that's going to play a factor. You know, could it be actually working in our favour this time? Bragg are obviously a very good technical side. We've had the advantage of playing on it once and when it's been poor, so, you know, might give us a little bit of an advantage where we need it. But the key thing for me is that, you know, there's a lot being documented about Braga's run they're on domestically just now. I mean, you can't discard that. You know, they're obviously in a bit of a bounce. But, you know, you've been talking in the show tonight that some teams look at, you know, a completely different proposition in Europe. And what we've not seen from Braga under a new manager yet is how they perform in Europe. The last manager had them playing well, despite their poor domestic form. So, you know, it's a bit of a tough one to call. Obviously, I hope we get something out of the game, but most importantly for me is try and avoid conceding an away goal. If we can keep the tie alive tonight, then we've got every chance of progressing, because, you know, you've seen how we've performed away from home in terms of getting score draws and even results, so I'm optimistic.
Because of what's happened to both teams since the draw was made, Chris, are you feeling a lot less confident now than you were when the draw was made, or are you still confident that Europe can bring out the best in this Rangers side?
I'm certainly a lot less confident than I was when the draw was made. When that draw was made back in December, I thought it was almost as good a draw as we could have got. We were in form. I really fancied us to go through. Now I genuinely think it's a 50-50 game. And if anything, Braga, I probably fancy them as being slight favourites now, purely because of that run domestically. But, you know, like I said, Europe is a different game. And, you know, there's nothing like an atmosphere at Ibrox, so we really need to try and capitalise on it tonight. But as I said, most importantly, just keep the tie alive.
Mark, the reasons for concern are quite clear. Rangers haven't been in brilliant form, and Braga have. However, the reasons for optimism are there as well. Seldom have Rangers disappointed in Europe under Steven Gerrard. They always have got results, or at least performances, and stepped up to the plate on more occasions than not.
Yeah, they have done, Gordon. Their European run under Steven Gerrard has been very, very impressive, straight from the group stages when he took over all the way through. Listen, I get Chris's point. I get that he's less confident, and I think a lot of Rangers fans might be the same, just purely because the way they're playing domestically. You know, there's no doubt they've came back after the winter break a worse team. Now, Daz was saying in Europe they've been great, and they have been. But that was the first part of the season. I don't know what's happened to this Rangers team over the space of 8 weeks, but it seems a different side to the one that went away to Dubai. And that must be a worry. And when Braga came out of the draw, they're not a big name like your Portals or your Benfica, so people were thinking it's a great chance because of where they're playing. You look at Braga, a decent side. I think this is a dangerous one for Rangers tonight.
I think it's a bit different tonight, Mark, in the European campaign, because they've got to a last 32. Group stages they get through. I think that was a great plus. Week in, week out, you're playing the league and you're watching other, like say, Celtic's results. The pressure's on not to drop points. Everyone's anxious if it's 0-0 and it's getting into 65 minutes on the clock, and Rangers have come in for a bit of criticism about their form. I just think it's different tonight. I think the atmosphere will be different. I think the under the lights on a Thursday night, I just think that this is a great opportunity for Rangers to go out there and try and find that bit of form.
But
again,
trust me, listen, when you're saying that about anxious in league games, these two leg affairs are anxious stuff. See, when you're playing a leg at home, There is no coming back. If you lose a goal at home, you're thinking.
But my point is, they've qualified through the group stages. Now, Rangers fans would have been delighted with that. Anything now is a bonus for Rangers and Celtic.
Yeah, the pressure's still there on the night, though.
Yeah,
isn't
you want to do well, Gordon, but I'm not really. I've got to
James
be honest.
Forrest almost makes it 2-0, drags it wide of the post.
Do I think Rangers are going to win the Europa League? No, I don't. So I think it's just an opportunity. Rather than that pressure, I know what you're saying, every game's a pressure when you play with Rangers, but it's a different one, the fact that you're not looking over your shoulder to see, well, Celtic have picked up 3 points tonight, we've got to go and make sure we do that. There's two games to get through here. I think you might be surprised with Rangers tonight.
Chris, I'm going to stick you in charge of the Rangers team just for the next 5 minutes or so. Who are you picking tonight?
So I think the back four picks itself, I think tonight I'll be going with Goldson, Katic, Barisic back in, and Tavernier on the right. In the midfield, obviously Jack's suspended, so I'd see Kamara coming back in just as a straight swap. I'd want Aribo out on the right, Kent on the left, and Morelos through the middle, and then obviously I think I'd probably Davis in the midfield as well. So I'd try to get that, you know, tried and tested for me. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago on the show. I think we need to get back to some of the guys that have been kind of tried and tested. And certainly at this level, we're looking for experience and something that's an occasion that not everybody might be used to. So that's where I'd be looking to go tonight.
Yeah, I've seen a bit of criticism amongst your fellow Rangers fans, Chris, for Ryan Kent recently. Just not so much criticism, just an acknowledgement that he's not hitting the form that many people expected. But you'd keep him in tonight. You wouldn't take him out and maybe throw a curveball at a Cambéry or something like that in his place?
I mean, I think, you know, he's been off the boil. I think that's clear. But, I mean, you could make that argument about half the Rangers squad at the moment. I think Kent is a clear talent. And I think he has, you know, been able to turn up in big games. You know, we've seen him turn up against Celtic. He turned up before Christmas against Hibs and what we've seen to be a tricky tie then. I sometimes think some of our players, we get the best out of them when there's the most expected of them. And for me, that's why I'd keep Kent in and go back to some of the guys like getting Aribo out wide supporting again. And hopefully Morelos can turn it on, because in Europe this year he's been, you know, almost flawless in my opinion.
Chris, enjoy the game. Maybe get in touch with us in the coming days and let us know how it was. That was Chris in Dumbarton on his way to Ibrox this evening. A nasty clash of heads involving Christopher Julian, Mark. We've got a bit of a delay to play. Celtic still one up.
Yeah, certainly a sore one. I don't think there's any intent in the Copenhagen forwards attempt, but Turin went for the ball, but you can see catches Julian square in the face and he's down. So I worry for Celtic at the minute, but still comfortable in this game.
01419511025 to speak to Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel. We're going to hear from Stephen Gerrard next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. 30 minutes on the clock in Copenhagen. It's Copenhagen 0, Celtic 1. Odson Edouard with the goal. No doubt about it, Gordon, Celtic are good for their lead, but it is quite open, it is quite lively, and still a long way to go, clearly.
Yeah, I think Neil Lennon will be absolutely delighted, Gordon. They started the game very well, created chances, they've controlled possession. The only danger that they've had is a couple of slips at the back with Ayer being a bit casual. As Copenhagen come forward, that's our first big chance.
What a chance.
Yeah, down the left hand side. Yeah,
Oviedo just curls it wide of the post.
Yeah, I was going to say number 19 just come in there. opens his body up. Once again, Julian, who's just taking a knock, his first touch is poor. gives the opportunity to play wide, and he opens his body up, he sees a full goal. And I think that's a terrific chance.
You would have tucked that away.
Oh yeah, I'd have been, yeah, I'd have been in the back, innit?
Comes off his toe almost. He doesn't get any curl on it at all.
Is Frimpong right to be so tucked in, Mark?
Well, Mark,
too narrow, I think he gets dragged in. I think if he just stays another couple of yards out, he manages to get there, but gives himself too much to do, and it should probably be 1-1 at this stage.
Right, we're not far away from getting team news at Ibrox either, so let's get some suggestions while we still can from Russell in Kilmarnock. Hi Russell.
Right.
Not bad at all. How are you? Are you feeling confident?
Before Christmas, I would have been more confident. After Christmas, not so much confident.
Well, do you not think, Russell, that sometimes a game like this can, you know, just change things a little bit in your form? You've got to change form somewhere, because Rangers have got good players, and up until December the 29th, they were playing very well. So, they're a different form.
I mean that, but something's just happened after the trip to Dubai, the winter shutdown. I don't know what's happened. Their confidence has just gone totally, it's just been shot to pieces.
Who would you play tonight, Russell? Would you do anything different, or is it a case of, you know, tried and tested?
Honestly, I'm a believer that, see Katic and Edmondson, I like George Edmondson. He reminds me of young Terry Butcher. I would play him. Katic, right? I would drop Golson, because Katic and Edmondson, they make one or two mistakes and they're dropped for the next game. Golson makes mistakes and doesn't get dropped.
I don't understand. Yeah, I think a lot of Rangers fans are in the same camp as you, Russell, but I don't think Steven Gerrard is. I think he likes Golson, and I think he will be a certain starter tonight.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Golson is a good player, but he's not the player we first got when we signed him. He's been off the boil a bit.
There's been a lot of focus at the top end of the pitch as well, Russell. Obviously Morelos plays, that's a no-brainer. Who else?
I would drop Kent, and I would bring in Kimberi. Because see, after the game on Sunday, after the 55 minutes when he brought in Kimberi and took Kent off, which I was very surprised at, because normally Stevie G doesn't do substitutions before the 60-65th minute. I would play that, and I would go with Kimberi and Morelos up front. I think it's better on Sunday.
How much did you read into that, Mark? Because it was a very early change for someone like Ryan Kent to be taken off after 55 minutes. Yeah. And by all accounts, Kimberi did well when he came on, had a positive impact. Any place for him in the starting 11?
Me personally, I don't think so. I think what Daz and what I think Chris said, the bigger players you play tonight. You know, Ryan Kent has been brought for you know, the big games against Celtic to perform and Europe to perform. I think you need to go with him. I think, you know, Russell was right. This is a confidence thing. Rangers were flying high with confidence, 29th. Whatever's happened in Dubai, they've come back, they've took a few knocks, and their confidence has dipped. Now, this game can do one or two things. The players can come out and relish the atmosphere, relish it being away from league business, and gain a wee bit of confidence and get a positive result. Could also have a negative effect. If Braga come, keep the ball like they can do, and get them a real pace in the night, then it sets Rangers back even further. It's a crucial night.
I think they could change it a little bit tonight. I think they need something to kick start it. Kimberi, for instance, the one thing the boy will give you is bags and bags of energy. And
what, they would go two up?
It might play him off a side. It might play him off the right hand side or a left hand side, Mark. But I think that they need something just a little bit different to try and give them that little bit of spark. He may be the guy that does that, and he can score a goal. So I would not be surprised if there are a few changes. Obviously, Jack, there'll be a change, but I think maybe we'll be in for a surprise, I think.
See, the thing that annoys me as well, guys, you don't seem to be able to change the formation once the game started. They just seem to want to stick to the same formation, whereas, see, Celtic can adapt to a game and change their formation.
Yeah.
That's the thing that you can't change a formation for some reason. And I think the 4-4-2, all right, no disrespect to Livingston on Sunday, but, you know, it did change. Kimberi did bring a freshness to the team. And I think a 4-4-2 tonight, go for it.
But they don't need to change to 4-4-2. They can keep their favourite system and just play Kimberi off a side, you know, off the right hand side, but in narrow. and go and support Morelos because and try and make better
runs. They do play narrow anyway. It's not like you'd be expecting Canberra to hug a touchline and bomb up and down all evening.
I think you may
but
change
personnel.
Hold
on, you were saying last week or 2 weeks ago that Canberra was a bad signing.
Do you know what's happened?
It shouldn't have been.
I'll tell you.
And you're saying it was a £7 million, Kane.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's happened.
What's happened?
I've got a theory. I think mid-conversation Gordon DL has received word that something's going to change. He's so transparent. I can read it in his face. Look at his face. Look at that.
Look at that innocent.
I can just tell. He changed his tune so quickly. And I instantly was suspicious. Someone has been in touch with you and told you that the Rangers team is changing tonight.
Look at his mouth curling up and a smile.
I don't know who sang the song, but I'm just an honest guy.
Somebody told you?
No, they have not. Don't start
it. Well, last week you were saying Canberra wasn't good enough.
Look,
and now you're saying he's starting.
I am not the greatest Canberra. What I criticised him about was what he said when he came to Rangers about this is a club I've always wanted to play for when you're on loan. If you take your mind back, that's what.
No, you said he wasn't the answer. He wasn't what Rangers needed.
All I'd like to say is, Stevie G, if you're listening, thank you for that heads up. No, I don't know who's going to play, but I wouldn't be surprised.
It was so obvious. It's written all over your face. Right, final word to you, Russell. It's getting closer. How do you see it going?
Can I just see it right? Canberra, yeah, I was a bit like that when he signed. It was like Canberra, really. See the man they should have went for. The man they nearly scored for Livingston on Sunday, Lyndon Dykes. What a player.
But he is a handful.
He's a different proposition. He's something that Rangers haven't got, really.
That ship sailed for now, hasn't it? You can always have regrets after the transfer window. Russell, enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully you find some enjoyment in it. You don't sound like you're too confident. It's Copenhagen 0, Celtic 1, 38 minutes gone. It's still extremely open, Gordon, but you get the sense that suits Celtic because they do look dangerous when they come forward.
Yeah, and the players that they've got, I'll just cut you open, Gordon. They look like it's the pace has dropped a little bit, but Celtic don't really have to do anything, you know. Just as long as they're tight at the back, because the home side somewhere along the line's got to try and take a chance to get up the pitch a bit further, and that plays right into the hands of Celtic, especially with the players they've got, the movement they've got, and the pace they've got. I think 38, 39 minutes on the clock, it's been terrific for Celtic.
Yeah, they come forward again. Johnny Hayes working it into the middle. Loads of space for Frimpong out there. If Edouard can find him, which he does. Here comes Frimpong into the box. Cham is screaming for it at the edge, but Frimpong just takes a bit too long on it, twisting one way and then the other, and then the chance disappears. That's hugely frustrating. Jack is a Rangers fan from Stirling. Who should start tonight, Jack?
Sorry again, I couldn't hear you.
I'm just saying, who should start tonight? I know you had some suggestions for the team.
I think the back line picks itself. Tavernier, Golson, Katic and Barisic. Midfield, Kamara, Davis and Arfield. Arfield's on form, so why not start him?
Yeah, certainly, and when it comes to goals, Jack, Arfield's got 6 since the turn of the year, so you can see why he is certainly worth a shout.
Yeah, he's been brilliant since the winter break. But the team's not like that. The team's been pretty poor.
Who's your front three there?
Oh, sorry, I just interrupted before we got there.
Yeah.
Morelos, Hadji and Kent.
Hadji, yeah. There's another name. I don't think anyone's mentioned that so far tonight.
I think Hadji's got to play tonight. Yeah. I think, you know, what he's used to, you know, the European style, I think he fits right in to what the game will need tonight. A creative force. I just wonder if he's better than that number 10 role. You know, the pass he picks out, Arfield... at the weekend, he receives the ball in that number 10 role.
Yeah, but that's where Rangers operate those guys anyway, is it not? They expect them to come in there and pick those passes. It's not.
But remember when they're starting as wide players, they're having to make their way into that hole. Sometimes you find space just by standing. Sometimes you don't have to go and run about. And I think when you start Hadji wide, he has to come in off a wing and into that position. I think he'd be. Listen, Gerard knows much better than me, but just looking at him and seeing him in the Euros, I think he's better suited to just occupying that area.
Are you a confident Rangers fan tonight, Jack? I'm sensing a little bit of nerves among some of the earliest callers and tweeters.
I'm pretty confident. I mean, we're a different side in Europe because we're more like the Scottish League is more physicality and we're more a technical team.
Well, I think that Arfield's a stick on. I'm not too sure, Mark. You look at Hadji, I think he's a terrific talent. I really do. His best work's been in the first half. He seems to fall out of the games. I wouldn't be surprised if Hadji or Kent, one or the other, was left out tonight for Kimberi coming in. There you go.
Is that what the text says?
No. Do you know, I'm actually now hoping that Kent and Hadji plays just to prove you's too wrong.
Celtic up one end, just spurning another chance to get a shot on goal. Copenhagen break up the other, and Johnny Hayes does well to recover and then draw a free kick as well. It is still extremely open. Celtic leading by that odds on Edouard goal to nil. Let's hear from Steven Gerrard.
Well, I think they are the form team in Portugal right now. I think over the last 4 or 5 weeks they've won a cup final against Porto, they've beat Sporting Lisbon, they've beat Benfica just recently, so we've got nothing but respect for this team that are coming to Glasgow tonight and also next week. Obviously had good performances against Wolves and done ever so well to get out of the group, so we know the challenge. We've been the underdogs in this competition since the group stages, so I don't think anything changes there. But it's certainly a fixture that we can't wait for. We're really excited, and I think you can see in the players' eyes and the focus and the training over the last couple of days that we're really looking forward to this challenge. It's big for us. Of course it's big, and without a doubt we're going to have to find a lot better performance that we've been shown of late.
Jack, how much of a priority is the Europa League for you at this stage? Because things have gone a little bit wrong domestically in terms of the title race. There's one cup that's already gone. How much do you care, ultimately, is what I'm asking about the Europa League?
I'd gladly get knocked out of Europa League to turn the table in domestically.
Yeah, you never really know how it's going to work, Gordon. You hear both. You say, you know, if you're not in Europe, you can focus solely on the league. But sometimes playing well and getting momentum from one competition, you can take it into another. So it's probably... We'll put it down to personal preference, will we?
Yeah, it works both ways. Yeah, look at Celtic tonight, and just before half time, you've got to say they've started brilliantly. And it breeds confidence and excitement there for the supporters if you're in the next round for a draw, who you're going to get. So, yeah, I can understand people saying, well, I'd rather get out the Europa League and concentrate and try to catch Celtic. I totally understand that, but I'm sure everyone, you know, Steven Gerrard and the players, want to go as far as possible in this tournament.
43.5 minutes gone in Denmark. Copenhagen 0, Celtic 1. Thank you to Jack in Stirling for his call. We are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. Don't forget, Scott McFarlane says, for me, tonight is simple. No clean sheet, no qualify, says Scott. He's a Rangers fan. Another season, another treble. Wasn't really bothered about the game tonight, but after the first 15 minutes we could have this tie done and dusted before half time. Can DL see my tweets? Almost everything he says I have tweeted. Trust me, he cannot work Twitter. There is absolutely no chance he can work Twitter. So
it's all about knowledge.
You're off the hook on that one. We're going to get the halftime story from Copenhagen next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Halftime in Copenhagen. The whistle's just gone, so let's get the eyewitness account. The halftime report from Alison Conroy in Copenhagen.
Halftime in a perishing parking stadium. It is Copenhagen 0, Celtic 1. They almost made the dream start. Odson Edouard was through on goal after just 20 seconds, but he was denied twice by the Copenhagen keeper. He then had another shot saved in the fourth minute, and then Chamd was also denied on the rebound. Edouard, though, did score in the 14th minute. He fired it in after some lovely build-up play from Ryan Christie and Olivier Ncham. James Forrest then fired wide as Celtic continued to dominate. Copenhagen have had one chance in the first half. It was Oviedo's chance, flashed past the far post. And just before the half-time whistle, Chris Julien with a header at the far post, but it was easily saved by the Copenhagen keeper. But Celtic do have that crucial away goal, and they're leading at half-time. It is Copenhagen 0, Celtic 1.
So far, so good for Celtic. Let's hope they can get the business done in the second half. How good would the coefficient be if we could get two victories on the board tonight? I believe Andrew McLean has the Rangers starting 11, Andrew.
Yes, I do, and Gordon DL, get that sauce you've got in the bin, because Florian Camberi is not in the starting lineup. Hadji and Kent both start for Rangers tonight. There is two changes. Borna Barisic is back from injury and back in the starting lineup. Glenn Kamara comes in as well, outdrop Andy Halliday and the suspended Ryan Jack. So Alan McGregor starts in goal as a back four of James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Nikola Katic and Borna Barisic. The midfield three, Glenn Kamara, Stephen Davis and Scott Arfield, with Yanis Hadji and Ryan Kent supporting Alfredo Morelos. The substitutes, Fodringham, Edmondson, Aribo, Barker, Stewart and Camberi.
Right, Rangers fans, what do you make of that team? 01419511025.
Yeah, well, no surprises for me, because that's the team I said. Again, I think, you know, going back to, I think it was Chris's point, saying the big players, you know, you bring them to Rangers for a reason. For nights like this, the European games, they've showed up well in the group stages. So I think you've got to go with them again. I know what's happened in the league. There's been a dip in form, dip in confidence. But in the European stage, these players have delivered. And in Hadji, they've got a European, you know, type player who I think will thrive in this situation.
Just let me double check if Andrew's still there. What are the conditions like at the moment, Andrew?
Yeah, the conditions are all right. When I first arrived, it was very windy and very wet, which wasn't doing the pitch too much good at all. But it's certainly calmed down a wee bit now. The pitch isn't looking great. It's pretty similar as it was to Sunday. The officials were out sort of having their walk around as they normally do. But that was just sort of having a look at the pitch, checking the nets as they normally do. But it's just that sort of area in the around the centre circle, really, that has quite a few bald patches on it. And then around the goal mouths as well aren't fantastic. But in terms of the conditions, it is nice and dry at the moment. Windy and cold, but dry at the moment.
Apart from the fact that your prediction was horrendous, Gordon, what about that Rangers team?
Yeah, no surprises for me, Gordon. I thought that they would have went with Gene Kent up top with Morelos. It's a big night for Rangers. I think that they could find something tonight. I don't know why. It's just European campaign, a bit different from the league, worrying about what's happening with Celtic with points and pressure and everything. They've got two games. There'll be a great atmosphere there, full house. If they can get the first goal, if they can get something at least positive to take to Portugal, then they're in with a good chance. But you're up against a good side and you've got to be very, very careful.
Right, it's half time in Copenhagen. Celtic leading by 1-0, thanks to Odson Edward. Ken is on the line. What have you made of it so far, Ken?
Well, Celtic have definitely started positive. I mean, I'm just worried that if we keep that pace up, they might run out of steam towards the end. But I mean, Edward's first two misses, I mean, I nearly fell off my seat. I couldn't believe he missed those two. I was glad he put that one away. I'm actually wondering if maybe some of them have got the wrong size studs on, because I mean, Christie's slapped, Ping-Pong slapped, Ayer slapped a couple of times. You know, is it possible to get the wrong set of studs on tonight? Because I know they can get different lengths, can't they?
You did say that, Gordon, a couple of minutes ago.
Me?
No, your dad's. That's Gordon across there. But sure. Yeah, you're right, Ken. A lot of players are slipping. In terms of keeping up the pace, I don't think the Celtic team really ran out of steam any time. I think they're a fit,
I don't think it's Celtic
bunch.
He's talking about, is it? Is it not Copenhagen? He was saying we'd run out of steam there, sorry.
No, Celtic.
Oh, right. No, I totally agree.
Pay attention.
Are you listening to the show, or have you got a different radio station on your headphones? He's listening to Clyde 2 in the headphones.
I'm on the message, you know, given what for. Keep talking.
Is this not just what Celtic do in Europe, though? Because remember that famous night in Rome in beating Lazio? It was still end to end. It was heart in mouth stuff at times. I just thought this was Neil Lennon Celtic. You know, I thought that's what we'd come to expect.
They've been attractive. It's good to watch. You know, Celtic fans, some of them will probably say it's too open for Europe. They'd like to pack the midfield and let Copenhagen bring them down. But it's not Neil Lennon style. You know, you can see where he's still playing just now. You know, 1-0 up, loads of possession. That he would like a second goal to kill the tie off tonight. And I think the Celtic players look like they believe they can get that. I mean, I'm watching the game thinking that Celtic look certainties to score a second goal. They just have to cut out the wee bit of slackness that was creeping in there.
I think if MD's going to tire, sorry for interrupting, but you were going on a bit. I think if MD's going to tire, it would be the home team, because they've not played it. They've had the break. Celtic look really sharp. And you know what like it is? It's harder chasing the ball. than when you've got the ball passing it all the time. So I think it'll be the opposite. I think they'll tire, and I think Celtic will open them up and get goals.
I get your concerns, Ken, but you would have absolutely taken a 1-0 away lead at half time, would you not?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, hopefully, I see they can get another one in the second half and keep the clean sheet as well. I wouldn't ask Gordon Dale for any
No, don't ask him for permission
because he's not very good at that.
Ken, you know Ken what I'm talking about.
But like, what decade does that again, Gordon?
What
decade does that again?
It's the 70s, Ken. 70s, mate.
And Mark, you look at the guys who are so productive for Celtic. Edouard, obviously, with the finish, but made in part by Christie into McGregor into Edouard. You're talking about half a dozen players for Celtic, really, that when they pour forward, you're always expecting them to be involved.
Yeah, that's the thing. Even with Forrest, who hasn't been involved a lot tonight, we're just watching a rerun. His pass, he puts Edouard through. These guys have got that wee spark. You know, they might not be involved in all the build-up play, but guys like Christie and McGregor have got that killer pass in them. And with Edouard, he's someone who can link up, but also he plays in the shoulder. We've just seen a couple of chances here where he makes runs in behind, and that's where Celtic, you know, are getting their success from. So that's why I'm thinking this Copenhagen defence is so stretched at this point. I think as the game wears on, it'll be even more stretched, and Celtic will find more opportunities to play little intricate passes like they got the goal from.
I mean, in the fan rule book about how you approach these away ties in Europe, Gordon, you generally would settle for a score draw away from home. You get your away goal, you take them back to your place, you take your chance. But I just wonder if, having looked at Copenhagen for 45 minutes, if Celtic just feel that this tie is there for the taking.
If I was in that dressing room just now, Gordon, I'd be saying to the players, look, we can finish this tonight. Because they will tire, because they're chasing the ball. Celtic are dominating the ball, they're moving it quickly, they're creating chances. They've just got to watch. They've one or two casual efforts at the back. You see Julian there. I know that we can make excuses for him, that he took a head knock. His first touch sets up a chance. I think that was Copenhagen's best chance. I think the lad, number 19, I'll call him, I think he's got to do better. I think he's got to hit the target, but he doesn't. He puts it wide. But apart from that, I think Neil Lennon will be delighted with his performance. Celtic looks sharp. Very attacking minded team. There's more goals here. There's more goals than the second half.
Ken and Cambus Lang, thank you very much for your call. Enjoy the second half.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Thursday night's Beat the Pundit, always full of entertainment one way or another. And we've got an extra special prize for you tonight as well. So just for getting through to play Beat the Pundit, even if you have a stinker and you don't get any questions right, you're still going to be a winner. Because by taking part, we're going to give you a pair of tickets to an evening with Larson, Sutton and Hartson at the SSE Hydro. It's the first time the three of them have been on stage together. So a real proper football night out for any Celtic fans out there. And if you're not a Celtic fan, well, I'm sure you know someone who is, and you can put the tickets to a good home. So give us a call to play Beat the Pundit tonight, 0141 951 1025. You must call us before 7 o'clock and we'll play Beat the Pundit next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to thompsons.com.
So far so good for Celtic. Copenhagen 0, Celtic 1. The second half has just started in Denmark. I'm sure Neil Lennon will be hoping for more of the same in the second 45. Oddson Edouard's goal is the difference. We are less than 1 hour away from Rangers against Braga at Ibrox as well. So we'll continue to build up to that one, continue to look at Celtic's game, and of course, what a classic we had in the Scottish Cup last night. Any Kilmarnock fans or Aberdeen fans out there want to share their roller coaster of emotions? We'd love to have you. 0141 951 1025. We'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. There's a real steely determination amongst Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale to not let any more signed balls leave this studio, because we've been giving away far too many recently. So hopefully, well, for your sake, because they'll be docking your wages, hopefully you two can do something tonight. I'm always on the side of the listeners, though. I much prefer it when you lose. Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
That's why you give them 40 seconds. Give us 30.
Tonight's contestant is Lee in Paisley. How are you, Lee?
not too bad, thanks, how are you?
Yeah, good, Lee. And of course, even if you don't go on to do anything and beat the pundit, you're already a winner, Lee. Those tickets to see Larson, Sutton and Hartson at the Hydro are yours. Are you happy with that?
Yeah, I should.
Good man. He's a Rangers fan, I think, Lee. So whether he'll go along behind enemy lines or whether he'll pass them on to someone, who knows. But we'll leave it up to Lee and he can decide what happens from here. Lee, I'm going to give you the coin, and if it's heads, you're up against Mark Wilson. If it's tails, it will be Gordon Dalziel. And it's heads, it's Mark Wilson.
Come
against
on, Lee.
From Paisley.
So, you just said to me, we're a team, no more balls are leaving that building.
Right. Let's set you up with some Clyde 2, Mark Wilson. And that way you won't know what Lee is saying. You have 30 seconds, Lee. It's very straightforward. You're head to head with Mark. You can pass. So if you don't know it, pass it quickly and just move on to the next one, okay?
Let's do it.
Good man. Your time starts now. Who were the last Danish team Celtic faced in Europe before tonight?
Rosenborg.
How many goals were scored after extra time in last night's Kilmarnock-Aberdeen match?
Three.
Who's Rangers' most capped Scotland player whilst at the club?
Alan McGregor.
Which team has the worst goal difference in the Premiership?
Hamilton Accies.
What was the half-time score between Copenhagen and Celtic?
1-0 Celtic.
What year did Hearts last win the Scottish Cup?
2009.
Okay. Mark Wilson, can you hear us?
Yes.
Great. Same set of questions to
all
you.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Who was the last Danish team Celtic played in the Champions League before tonight?
Aalborg.
How many goals were scored in extra time in last night's Kilmarnock-Aberdeen match?
Three.
Who is Rangers' most capped Scotland player whilst at the club?
David Weir.
Which team has the worst goal difference in the Premiership?
Hamilton.
What was the half-time score between Celtic and Copenhagen?
1-0 Celtic.
In what year did Hearts last win the Scottish Cup?
2006.
Okay. Lee, what do you think of the competition?
Maybe just pit me.
I think he's just pit me.
Oh, really? Aye, I thought I had a shocker there, but you must be equally as badly.
I think it's 1-1.
Let's find out.
Is that 1-1?
Who were the last Danish team Celtic faced in Europe? It was Aalborg.
Oh yes. But you don't even know who Aalborg is.
You can't make that sign to your fellow colleague. That's ridiculous.
It was Aalborg. Mark Wilson's into a one goal lead. How many goals were scored in extra time?
Oh god. Well, it's 1-1 and it finished 4-3-5.
Miscalculated,
yeah,
that.
It was 5. So there we go. Who is Rangers' most capped Scotland player?
Did Lee get that?
No. Who is Rangers' most capped Scotland player whilst at the club? It was Ali McCoist. So we're talking about overall caps collected whilst a Rangers player. So it was Ali McCoist. None of you got it. The worst goal difference in the Scottish Premiership is actually Ross County.
Ross County.
They're not bottom, but they've got the worst goal difference.
How's Lee doing?
Not great, to be honest.
Lee's moved to Winchell.
It's 1-0.
He's moved in beside Chris at Winchell.
What was the half-time score between Celtic and Copenhagen? You knew that one, Lee. It was 1-0 to Celtic. But unfortunately for you, Mark Wilson knew it as well. So it's 2-1 to Mark. So the only chance Lee has to equalise is with this. What year did Hearts last win the Scottish Cup? It was 2012. Lee didn't get it either. Neither did Mark. It was an absolute stinker of a game. A scrappy affair. But he's beat you by 2-1, Lee. Hard lines.
I like it.
Would you unlucky? Sorry, unlucky. Is that the best word you can come out with?
I've got your back, Lee. It was unlucky. Lee was unlucky.
If it wasn't for live TV, Lee would have a.
That's a fair point.
Unlucky.
That's a fair point.
He's only lucky he's watching the telly.
Well done, Lee.
Unlucky, Lee.
Unfortunate there, Lee.
That was Lee and Paisley. We will give our final pair of tickets away to that evening with Larson, Sutton and Hartson on tomorrow's Beat the Pundit. And if you don't want to take your chances on there, tickets are still available at the SSE Hydro website. I don't know why you are so cocky this evening though, Mark Wilson. I'm wondering I'm wondering if what time you eventually got home from Pittodrie on Sunday. I was just happy to see you arrive in the studio at 5 to 6 because I was fearful that you were still in the studio.
I couldn't believe you still dropped me.
I was
proper freezing. And I'm thinking, he's obviously going to bring me back in for a point here.
Let me paint the picture for anyone who didn't hear it on Sunday. In fact, I'll just play it. This is what happened to Mark Wilson at Pittodrie on Sunday.
Can't believe.
I'm sorry. Can't believe. I am genuinely sorry.
I was waiting and you bring me in. I'm watching the seagulls have a nightmare here chasing a bin bag and listening to Hugh's marriage problems. I'm the only guy left in the stadium.
So the Celtic game finished about 2:15, right? About 1:45 now. At 3:15, an hour and a half after the game finished, I got a text from Mark Wilson saying, hey, do you still need me? And he was sitting in his seat for an hour and a half at Pittodrie, freezing. However, more importantly, Copenhagen have just levelled. Copenhagen 1, Celtic 1. Talk us through it, Gordon.
Well, when I was looking at Gordon, my first initial thought was he looked a bit offside.
Get the VAR on it.
Yeah,
well, it will be onto it.
Yeah, I could totally be wrong. Neil Lennon's like having a word with John Kennedy there. I think it was bad defending. And it's poor clearance again. As I said earlier, and Cham's not strong enough. The ball comes in.
Miles onside.
Johnny Hayes is caught out of position because he's moved up the pitch, and Cham's got to do better. Brown then goes in. The ball gets played in between Ayer and Julian. And it's a good finish.
I think your two centre halves have got to do better there. If you see it from the angle behind the goal,
one in front
Julian somehow, he sees Ayer's in the centre of the box, and Julian somehow
ends up behind him.
And he leaves his man, and Johnny Hayes, you're right, is out of position. It's a poor goal for Celtic to lose because they were in possession, they're still looking comfortable, and yet they find themselves 1-1 here.
Initial problem, Gordon, comes through Olivier and Cham. It comes in the edge of the box. He tries to let the ball run through him and sort of pull off a turn away from his opposite man, who just robs him. And Copenhagen, right on the edge of the Celtic box, come forward, pick a pass and find the finish in off the post.
After 20 minutes of this game, we were saying the only thing that I would be worried about with Celtic is Celtic, because Ayer was sloppy for two and caused a little bit of problems. Julian, for their best chance in the first half, again was sloppy. And then Cham, I think Neil Lennon would be disappointed. Oh. Celtic have started.
Big chance for Celtic. It's still there. Forrest has it. If he can pick a pass or a shot, the Copenhagen players are throwing bodies everywhere. It was Frimpong initially. The ball was cut back to him. The keeper was nowhere to be seen. Not sure why he didn't have a shot. He then tried to take it towards the byline, and the chance eventually cleared away.
It's good play with Celtic. Great flick from Edward again. Great back heel from Christie. Frimpong, I think, takes the wrong option. Ball gets played in the box, but you're right, Gordon. The determination from the Copenhagen players to stop that getting in the back of net was incredible. But that might just give the little shot in the arm that Celtic need, because, you know, I think they were quite happy to go along with their 1-0, dominating the game. But they've upped the pace again. I think there's more goals in this. But getting back to the goal that they conceded, I think it's sloppy play. And that was the only way for me that the home team were going to get a goal tonight.
The strange thing is, Mark, as we said earlier on, a 1-1 draw away from home in a two-legged affair is a good result. But we've watched the first 45 minutes and you just feel like this game was there for Celtic if they performed the way that, well, we know that they can.
Yeah, and even now, you know, they concede the goal. And quite often in Europe, when Celtic concede a goal, you can see it crumbling apart within the first few minutes of them conceding. But even now, they're on the attack. They look comfortable. You know, they've had a couple of efforts since the goals went in. And you see that they're very comfortable in this tie. And it was only going to be themselves. We were saying at half time that a wee bit of slackness was creeping in and a few stray passes here and there. And that's the only way Copenhagen were going to get back into this game. And that's the way it's turned out. So Neil will be bitterly disappointed, because for the majority of this game, it looked like Celtic were throwing it.
So, long way to go in Copenhagen. Celtic have been pegged back in command for the majority of the game so far, certainly. And then that sucker punch just after the break pulls things level. So Copenhagen 1, Celtic 1, 55 minutes gone. And we are building up to kick off between Rangers and Braga as well. So Rangers fans, if you're on your way to the game, maybe you're just arriving at the stadium, I'm sure you'll find time to give us a call and let us know how you're feeling. Are the nerves starting to kick in or not? 01419511025, and we're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Now, this is the Europa League. It's one of, Europe's top club competitions. Unfortunately, we can't promise the same drama that our Scottish Cup brings, because our Scottish Cup is the place to be this week.
As if
Tuesday night wasn't enough, an 8-goal thriller, a comeback, penalty shootout at Fir Park. We then had a 7-goal thriller, late drama and extra time at Rugby Park last night, and Aberdeen progress to the next round. Here's Derek McInnes.
Real pride in the players' tenacity to keep going. You know, they never gave it up. There's different ways to win a game of football. Clearly, you know, you can do it tactically, which we did tonight. We can do it through big moments individually, or you can just do it with sheer guts, tenacity, a refusal to make, other than to make the game go our way, and that's where we were. If we'd lost the game 1-0, it wouldn't have been for the want of trying. We did everything to go and score the equaliser. And thankfully, Big Andy gets on the end of it and takes us to extra time. And I thought in the first period of extra time, we were a better team. Kennedy gets his goal. He was another one that carried the fight all night. He was excellent. The thing about Ferguson for me, the bigger the game, the bigger the performance. And when the game needed a big moment, he drove and drove in the box. He had the courage to drive in and make something happen. That's what I love about the boy. He just gets his penalty. It's a clumsy tackle, I think, from Kilmarnock's point of view, but it's a lifeline for his Coswell, gets equaliser. And just as we're sorting out the order for penalties, I had my 5 penalty takers, and turns around and Big Andy's running down the line like Ryan Giggs. I don't know where he gets his energy for you. I don't know where he... There a boy there who, times against him, he go and lift another trophy, but if ever a boy deserves to win more than one trophy, it's Constein. And similar to our third goal we lose, a big defender can't sort his feet out and it ricochets in, and it's a big break for us, no doubt about it. But name more than we deserve, because the tenacity of the team was there, and we see 1,200 fans celebrating with the players and the club coming as one there, and you see the players celebrate like that with the supporters. We've needed that connection, we've needed that big performance all season, and it's almost as if we've lit a fire under our season.
Huge chance for Celtic. They spring a counter attack. It's 3-on-3. McGregor, he's got Christie to his right. No idea why he doesn't slip it through to Odson Edouard. He takes a shot from the edge of the box and it goes over the bar.
Oh, the perfect opportunity.
Why did they not pass it to Odson Edouard?
And if there's one guy you want driving with a ball and who can pick that pass, that just have ideal pass, it's Callum McGregor. And Edouard's in a great position. He just slips him in. Edouard scores. But McGregor, he delays it. He takes his touch and he shoots over. Huge, huge chance for Celtic.
Mohamed El Younoussi is going to come on for Celtic, so it'll be interesting to see who he replaces. What about last night though, Gordon? We asked last night on last night's show, was the Motherwell St Mirren game one of the best Scottish Cup ties in recent memory? I wonder if it held that accolade for a day, because Kilmarnock Aberdeen certainly as a contender.
No, I think Motherwell, Gordon, especially with 4-1 down at half time, everybody thought that was it, done and dusty. Terrific fight backs. Motherwell with no recognised centre halves, but Derek McInnes is quite right. He's got to give credit to his players. They looked like they were going out as well. A late equaliser takes them into extra time, and then obviously a terrific extra time game. And Aberdeen just sneak it, and well done to them. They're in the next round against St Mirren.
Mark, 3 goals in the last 4 minutes of extra time. It's heading to penalties, as you heard Derek McInnes saying. And there always has to be, you know, a fall guy, someone who makes the crucial mistake. You've got to feel for Conor Johnson scoring a 120th minute own goal to knock Kilmarnock out and put Aberdeen through.
It's a sore one. It really is. And it's, you know, if you're a Kilmarnock fan, it's heartbreaking to watch. Must say, it was a big week for Derek McInnes. You know, you go back to just before that Hamilton game last Tuesday night, and people are saying if he doesn't get a good result here, he could be in trouble. He gets a great result. Then Celtic at Pittodrie, they don't shame themselves. They take the game to Celtic and get a lot of positives, even though they don't get the result. Going last night again, it looked bad for a long time, but it just shows you how things can turn at a club so quickly. Few positive results, wee bit of luck, like Derek says, you know, a wee bit of fight, and all of a sudden it's looking okay. You know, it's looking brighter in the league, and you're in the next round of the cup. So a huge week for Derek McInnes. Got to say, it's went his way.
Livian Cham is the player to make way for Mohamed El Younoussi. Just before we leave the Scottish Cup behind, though, Gordon, it deserves more time than that for sure. That's Aberdeen through to take on St Mirren in the next round. So the two winning sides from those monumental Scottish Cup ties, they'll meet in the next round. And both will fancy it based on what they've seen during the week.
Without a shadow of a doubt, they'll fancy it, Gordon. I would, like everyone else, Aberdeen will be favourites. But St Mirren, Tuesday night, first half, were they terrific or were Motherwell so bad? That's what the question is. So
both.
Give a lot of credit to St Mirren, but then they folded in the second half. I think Jim Goodwin would have learned a lot from that. That will be a real good cup tie. Real good cup tie.
Yeah, because the ongoing debate surrounding Derek McInnes really revolves around silverware, Mark.
Yeah.
Because everyone accepts now, I think, that Celtic and Rangers have got the top two places sewn up, and Celtic come within inches of retaking the lead. It wouldn't have been intentional. Ryan Christie swung a cross in. There was three bodies throwing themselves at it, but it looked like Christie's cross was going to end up in the back of the net, but it just drifts wide.
Last time I've heard Mark so excited was when he won 2-1 at Beat the Pundit 20 minutes ago. That was
thought it was in.
So did I. That was one of those crosses that it's aimed for a back post. Sometimes you look for somebody just to get a little nick on it, or other times it may just get, it fools the goalkeeper and goes in the back of net. I like the substitution. I think that El Yunusi can bring a bit of pace down that left hand side as well. I still think there's an hour goal in it for Celtic.
Right, we keep getting interrupted because that's what happens when you've got a live game. Derek McInnes, the charge towards silverware if possible.
Well, unfortunately for Derek, when you're at Aberdeen and you know it's seen as the third biggest club, then, and they've got that terrific fan base, you know, especially travelling support, that always remember the good days in the 80s where they were so strong and so dominant. And when Derek came and they won the League Cup, I think the fans thought they were going to get more. But I mean, again, Derek for me has done a terrific job at Aberdeen, but they always want more, the Aberdeen fans. A lot of them have grew up with success. They've went a long period without anything, and they think with the squad they've got, they should be doing better. You know, when they see, you know, St Johnstone winning the Scottish Cup, you know, and other clubs winning it in more recent times, you know, your Dundee United's, you know, winning it as well, they're thinking, why can we not do it in recent times? And they might have the perfect opportunity now. Whenever it looked bad for Derek, that may be a turning point. That getting through to the next round, they've got St Mirren, who they will fancy them their chances against, and then they could be back to Hampden. So a big opportunity.
Excuse
for Aberdeen.
Is St Mirren at home or Aberdeen? I thought it was
St Mirren. I could be wrong.
Corner to Celtic. It goes to Edward. He heads it back across, but it's not a great one into the keeper's arms. This is a great chance for you to get in touch, because we're going to take a breather and we'll be back with a full time teaser, and we could be speaking to you next. 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Scott Brown's just gone into the book for Celtic. A real hefty challenge in the middle of the park. Still Copenhagen 1, Celtic 1. Remember, VAR is in operation tonight. It will be at Ibrox as well. We've not really had any VAR controversies in the Celtic game though, Gordon, so maybe we'll get one in the closing period, or we'll get some at Ibrox later.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And it'll be interesting to see how if we do get one, how the fans will react to it, Gordon, because there's a big cry out for it up here to help the referees, because the referees come in for a lot of criticism. So it'll be interesting tonight to see if it plays a part.
So still 1-1, plenty of football still to be played, and we are 35 minutes away from kickoff at Ibrox. So Rangers fans, how are the pre-match nerves? 0141 951 1025. Let's get tonight's teaser up and running. If you want to hear your questions used on the show in the future, the address you need to send them to is fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. So you send the questions and we give the pundits the last 30 minutes of the show to try and come up with the answers. This one's been sent in by Mikey. Thank you very much to Mikey for sending it in. He says, since tonight is the first time Rangers have played knockout football in Europe since the 10-11 season, can you name the starting 11 from their last knockout game in Europe against PSV in 2011?
Was McGregor here in goals?
Yeah.
No.
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 Neil Alexander.
Yes.
Was Hutton there?
No.
When did he move Hutton? Oh, Stephen Whittaker.
Is he just on your mind because he retired?
Aye.
No.
Stephen Whittaker.
Yes.
Yeah, well done, Mark. Keep going, son. I'm liking this.
Barry
Ferguson away be then.
Your old pal Sasser.
Aye, old Sasser.
He played.
Yeah. He must have recovered in time.
Yeah. Was Ferguson playing that team?
No.
No, was he away by then?
That's a terrible shot.
Lee McCulloch.
One at a time, please.
Thompson.
No.
Lee McCulloch.
No.
One at a time. No, yeah. No.
One wrong answer at a time, please.
Chance.
Big chance. Celtic, another great save. This game burst into life with Edouard against the Copenhagen goalkeeper. And although Edouard scored, the Copenhagen goalkeeper's come out on top more often than not, and he's just done it again. A great ball in from the left. Edouard slid in with the first time finish, and the keeper makes the save. He's had a good game, the goalkeeper, Gordon.
Yeah, especially at the start of the game, Gordon. It could have easily been 3-0 in the first 10-15 minutes. But for the goalkeeper, he makes himself big. And there's another very, very vital save for the home side. Yeah, he's been their best player, you've got to say.
Okay, still 1-1, 20 minutes to go. You've got 3 on the teaser. We'll leave it there and we'll get the rest soon. Laurie is a Celtic fan from Denison. What are you making of this, Laurie? Are you going to get a winner?
To be honest with you, I'd settle for a draw. But Orson Edouard has missed uncharacteristically a couple of chances tonight. Although he finished the goal that he scored with magnificent aplomb. Anyway, I'd like to preface any comments I'm about to make my main point tonight by saying that I hope that both Scottish clubs progress into the next round. It's so important for our coefficient. And I'm watching the game in the presence of my 16-year-old son, Lawrence Jr. And he was talking, and this is my main point, about James Forrest. James Forrest has been a stalwart for Celtic for the last decade. He's an unsung hero. He works tirelessly. He's such a fabulous player. And I think that, you know, I remember Patrick Roberts come on the scene a few years ago. And there was a lot of accolades his way. Patrick Roberts, at times, flatter to deceive. James Forrest, what you see with James Forrest is what's printed on the label. He's just such a grafter. He's such an industrious player. He's got so many goals and so many assists. The panel's thoughts?
I have to agree with you. I've always been a big fan of James's. And I always say in this show, I think he gets unfair criticism at times for a section of the Celtic support who probably one end product every time he gets the ball. And we keep saying it, with wingers, they're usually unpredictable. You don't get end product all the time, but James certainly delivers more often than not. The volume of games he plays, and Laurie, you're right, the amount of goals, the amount of assists, what is he, 16 this season, and people were still coming on and getting him stick. Big goals, you know, he scores away in Europe as well, Lazio, and he's such an important player. And you see that with the amount of times he plays. Even when he's off form, Neil Lennon always tends to pick him. And he's always in the team. If there's a substitution to be made, it's very rarely him. He'll change James Forrest to a different position. You know, whether that's the left, he's pulled him to the right this evening now when El Yunusi's come on. And he's just such an important player.
Speaking of important players, Gordon, there's a real moment of concern for Celtic. Scott Brown has gone off injured and he's been replaced by Nir Beaton.
I think that was due to the challenge earlier, Gordon, just seconds earlier. He went into a hefty challenge and I think he's injured himself, obviously, because he never comes off the pitch. I'm sure he was having a word with Neil Lennon there because he was very concerned. So it'll be interesting to hear what Neil says after the game on his injury, because it must be something, you know, serious for Scott Brown to leave the pitch because he never
does. Yeah, the thing is now, with 15 minutes to go and him missing, he's the guy that holds everything together.
Huge chance for Copenhagen into the box and it's going to be hacked clear. Good defending in the end by Celtic. Laurie,
Julian.
Laurie, it looks like it's going to be a nervy finish to this one.
Absolutely. At the start of the game, Gordon, I would have taken a score draw because I'm satisfied and convinced that we will progress to the next stages after the second leg Parkhead. So I'm not overly concerned. Overall, a good performance and good luck to Rangers tonight.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And for the coefficient, we could be doing with two wins. Hopefully you and Lawrence Jr. enjoying the game there in Denison, but in Copenhagen it's still level, Gordon, and it's become a bit more nervy for Celtic, you have to say.
Yeah, a game that they were in total control of, Gordon. They're having to dig in deep. 1-1 is a great result for them. They would have taken that before the kick-off, but after the first opening 10 minutes you're thinking this has got to be a cruise night for Celtic. They're going to get this game finished here. It's not turned out that way. And I think they've helped Copenhagen with a few errors, a few mistakes, and they've given Copenhagen, the home side, a bit of confidence here. They've just got to be careful. 1-1 is not a disaster. It's a good result. I think it would be enough to take them through. But if they lose another goal, it gives Copenhagen
VAR claims for a handball against Celtic in the penalty box. And this, of course, is one of the areas that will be looked at. I think we're going to get the first instance of it. Can we see the hand is up, Ryan Christie? I would be amazed, Gordon, if that is not a penalty. The hand is up. It comes off Copenhagen's head last. The check is going to be carried out. I was interested to see the mechanics of it as to whether the referee will go across and take a look at the pitch side monitor on his own, or whether he will receive guidance from elsewhere.
That annoys me. Why does he not go over?
I think he will. Well, my understanding was that the referee would be checking the pitch side monitor, unlike what we see in the English Premier League. But you're right, he seems to be staying on the pitch at the moment, and he's now going to go and check the monitor. He'll have a look at it. And I think he can never predict it exactly, but I think Celtic are about to concede a penalty.
Hit his hand. Certainly hit his hand. It's come off ahead, but it's went onto Christie's hand. It's his trailing arm. It is up in the air. It is whatever you call an unnatural position. And it's hit his hand.
And to be fair, this is the new handball rule. It is difficult. I mean, there is no way Ryan Christie can get out the way of it, Gordon. But that doesn't really matter anymore, unfortunately.
It's a position.
If your hand is up, he's jumped. It does come off his hand. The ref's getting a look at it. He's taking his time.
It's
but
a penalty kick.
I would expect that to come back and it's be a penalty.
Kick, yeah,
I think it's going to be. Referee's keeping everyone waiting. Real suspense. First VAR incident. He's checked and he's given the penalty kick against Celtic. Ryan Christie, handball in the box. And VAR involved with a Scottish team in Europe for the very first time. And the decision has been given against Celtic. Penalty kick. And this tie could potentially be about to flip on its head.
He's not going to book him, is he?
Well, you have to.
You have to book him.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's harsh. Yes, I get it. It's a penalty because it's hit his hand. But he's not meant it. And then to get a yellow card for it. I know that it's the rules, but that's a harsh rule.
That is the rule. You're stuck with it. It's a penalty. For anyone who's not seeing it at the time, you do have a degree of sympathy for Ryan Christie. He cannot do anything about it. I mean, it's come off. The Copenhagen player has headed it onto his arm. But like we said, we've known this rule all season. That's the way it is.
Yeah, well,
and then Christie misses the next match.
He misses the home leg.
That's harsh.
We were having a chat about would VAR play a part tonight, and 5 minutes later, it certainly may, because obviously they've got a penalty kick. I don't think the referee was going to give the penalty kick, was he?
Doesn't really matter.
No, but he went over it. He took his time. He looked at it. But with the new rule, VAR, we're all in agreement. You can't deny it. Penalty kick.
And the penalty kick is tipped onto the post by Fraser Forster. What a save that is. How important has Fraser Forster been for Celtic in Europe this season? VAR gives the penalty against Celtic and it's saved. Now,
are they claiming about the goal line?
About Fraser Forster coming off the line. I think one of his feet was still on, so I think he might be okay.
Yeah, he's okay with that, but incredible.
Yeah, in the big stage.
Did he definitely get a touch onto the post?
I thought he did.
Before I give him
no, I don't think he touched it.
Did he not? I was looking at his feet there just in case.
So you just let me go on a big rant about how important he's been for Celtic and he didn't touch it.
Yeah, but he was there to put the lad off.
Well, the Celtic
and
players,
a big stage like that.
I think he did. The Celtic players all congratulated
him. Do you think
him.
So? Yeah. And a big stage like you think the lad puts it into the back of net, don't you?
So there we go. A let off for Celtic, a lifeline. This was a game that really they should have been in front, but they couldn't stay in front for as long as they would have liked. Copenhagen pegged them back, and they've a missed penalty as well.
Incredible. I mean, it's been a great game to watch. Open, end to end. You know, we've had what, 4 or 5 real good chances for Celtic. Copenhagen coming into it, missed penalty, and still 11 minutes to go plus stoppages, you'd still think there's a goal in this. And I wouldn't be surprised if Celtic got up the other end and get it.
You have to say though, Mark, as time has gone on, Celtic have dropped further and further out of this game.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, they've just invited Copenhagen. You know, Copenhagen were particularly poor in the first half and they have been better. But Celtic, you're right, they're just allowing them more possession, especially in the wider areas. A lot of crosses now coming into the Celtic box, and Julen and Ayer are having to throw themselves and defend the box much more than they did in the first half. And Neil Lennon will certainly want his team to try and push 5 or 10 yards further up the field to give these guys a wee bit
it's
of rest.
It's incredible how a game can turn, Gordon. We're thinking this could be an easy night for Celtic. Now, I think Neil Lennon sitting on that bench with 10 minutes to go would say, we'll take 1-1 and get out of here. Yeah. And we'll beat them back at Celtic Park because I think they've got better quality than Copenhagen. But they've just given that lift with the goal that Copenhagen's got. They look a completely different side, I've got to say. And, you know, they're pressing. They believe that there's a second goal here for them.
You don't have to agree with the rule, but I think for anyone who's paid close attention to the rule accepts that that is a penalty against Ryan Christie.
Yeah.
It might be harsh. It might not fit with the way some people want the handball rule. But I think most people accept it to be a penalty. The bit that will probably stick in Neil Lennon's throat as well is to miss the next leg for that, Gordon, when there's quite literally no intent, no even any real knowledge of what's happened.
Yeah,
Ryan Christie, he jumped for a header. His opposite number flicks the ball onto his hand. It is a penalty, we get that. Mm-hmm. But he now misses the next leg
as
well.
I feel for him. I think it's a little bit unfair, Gordon, because he's been punished with the fact he's given away the penalty. Okay, they've missed it, but to miss the next game, I think, is a little bit harsh, because you're right. There's no way in the world Ryan Christie knows where, you know, that ball is with his hand. So I think he's a wee bit unlucky. But modern day rules, you agree or you don't agree.
And are Celtic settling for a point? Yeah. Point, it's not a point, is it? Are Celtic settling for a draw here, Mark? Because like Jozo Simunovic is about to come on.
Yeah, looks like it.
They have looked up against it, haven't they?
Yeah, to see who comes off and rejigging the shape. Of course, it worked at Pittodrie, rejigging the shape for different reasons. And it looks like Neil Lennon will take off one of his more attack-minded players, maybe a Ryan Christie.
Or maybe a Frimpong and go to a back three. James Forrest into the box, though. James Forrest trying to get the shooting chance.
What a save again.
Another great save by the Copenhagen keeper, who has been, by some distance, their man of the match.
You don't think that's a good save?
No.
Behave.
No. Listen, watch it back. If the goalkeeper gets beat there at the near post,
there's a booking for near beat on.
See where I think that James Forrest went wrong there. He's got the beating of the lad.
Yeah, touch too
and
wide.
He took the extra touch wide.
Clear booking by near beat on. Just chops the Copenhagen winger down when he's in full flow. Right, quickly, what about this teaser we're looking for?
What was the question?
Mikey sent it in tonight. He says Rangers playing knockout football in Europe for the first time since 2011, when they reached the round of 16 in the Europa League against PSV. Can you name their starting 11? So Neil Alexander in goal. You've got Sasa Papach and Stephen Whittaker.
Was David Weir playing at that? No?
Yes.
Well done, David Weir. Was Kyle Lafferty playing?
Yes.
Naismith?
No. On the bench.
Bartley? No.
No.
Who's the midfield? Davis be there at the
yes. Aye, Davis, aye, good shout.
Take one more guess.
Jelovic?
No. Okay, we'll get the rest and we'll get full time in Copenhagen and back to Ibrox next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
A real nervy finish in store in Copenhagen. 88 minutes gone. It's Copenhagen 1, Celtic 1. Fraser Forster saved a penalty as well. Celtic really under the cosh towards the end of this game, Mark. Constantly giving the ball away, constantly under pressure. And Neil Lennon will be desperate for the full-time whistle.
Yeah, I mean, situations like that there where they've defended across, but it's a sloppy pass out to the edge of the box. They need to clear this danger and try and get up the pitch. And they're just allowing Copenhagen to move the ball into the wide areas. They're not even trying to get out and stop crosses. And it's left to Julian Simunovic and Ayer to try and get their bodies in front. And if you allow this to happen too long, it's going to fall to a Copenhagen striker and they're going to win the game. So dangerous game the last few minutes.
John is a Celtic fan from Wishaw. What's on your mind tonight, John?
Gordon, can you hear me?
Yes, got you loud and clear.
No, we had a wee bit of trouble with the phone there.
No problem.
Gordon, I cannot believe that referee gave a penalty there. I cannot believe he gave a penalty.
Why?
Because the guy headers the ball onto Christie's arm. Christie's head turned and his eyes are closed. There's absolutely no way he knows anything about that. And this, your silhouette is a silhouette when you're naturally putting your hands up. Everybody says when you jump for a ball, your hands go up in the air like defenders to help them to climb. Christie was up there, his hand came out, not on purpose. It was part of his silhouette, the way he was. And the referee even booked him for it.
I know, like, that, John, and by the way, I'm not saying I agree with this handball rule, but if we're talking about silhouette, his hand was above his head. You know, that's not
natural silhouette in that position is to be there.
Nah, I'm not sure. I know you jump and you use your arms for leverage, John, but his hand was above his head. Again, I want to stress, I don't necessarily agree with it, but I'm going to read you a bit from IFAB, for, you know, the official rules of the game, if you like. So a handball offence, one of the parts is if the hand or arm has made their body unnaturally bigger, and the next, the hand and arm is above or beyond the shoulder level. Now, it was above or beyond the shoulder level, and the next line, just let me finish just to try and clear it up. The next line says the above offence applies even if the ball touches a player hand or arm directly from the head or body of another player who is close. So that's exactly what's happened there, John, black and white in the IFAB laws of the game.
Exactly what happened, but you telling me that's not natural for your hand to be out there
above. But John, this is not me. I'm going to read that bit to you again. If the hand or arm is above or beyond shoulder level,
your hand must be above shoulder level if you're climbing.
No, John.
It must be. It's natural.
It's not
for it to be in that position.
Gordon DL, go and jump up in the corner and keep your hand. but John.
Gordon's not got a ball. Gordon will tell you if you're jumping with a ball, your hand's got up in there.
But John, again, it's the problem lies with the rule. It's extremely clear. Whether you think it's natural or not, no offence to you, is irrelevant. There's even a bit in the rule which says that if your hand or arm is above shoulder level, then it's a penalty. Was his hand above shoulder level?
Your hand cannot not be above shoulder level.
That's not what I asked. Was his hand above shoulder level?
Yes, it was.
Well, there you are.
Cannot...
As simple as that. John, I keep stressing it because I sound like I'm some sort of advocate for the handball rule. I think it's really frustrating. I don't necessarily want it to be that way, but Mark Wilson, it says quite clearly, I don't want to read it for a fifth time, if your hand or arm is above shoulder level, even if it comes off an opponent's head who is close.
Oh, listen, there'll be plenty of people like John out there watching this. You know, me myself watching it, I'm going, that's incredibly harsh. We all saw what John saw. Christy jumping, eyes shut, no intention, a handball on it, but it's the rule. And then to go and book him is rubbing salt in the wounds for it. You know, it's, and he misses the next leg, so a real sore one.
See, if you book him, should he not be sent off for deliberate handball then?
No, you wouldn't. That's a bookable offence.
Oh, it's all minions now, isn't it? It's all just rubbish.
Oh, you'd rather get booked and sent off, John, would you not? You don't want them to get sent off.
Well, if you're going to apply the rule like that, it's a sending
it's
off.
Not, it's not. It's not. No. It's only a red if it would, you know, deny a clear goal scoring opportunity. It's a bookable offence. I don't know how we've now developed this into wanting Ryan Christie to be sent off. It wasn't even a penalty 2 minutes ago, John.
But it's frustrating. It is frustrating for people watching and frustrating for the players. Because imagine you're Ryan Christie just now, and you're missing the next leg. You've almost cost your team this leg, and you've not known anything about it. Frustrating, but as many rules are, as probably James Keaton's for Inverness, as well, these rules.
No, but that's just that's just a dodgy interpretation of a rule. That's different. That's just a mistake.
Yeah, see if that happened in the other box, I'm sure John would have been on shouting Stonewall penalty.
The thing is, and to try and help, because I think everyone's a bit frustrated by this, but to try and maybe clear it up for us a bit, I think what we need to forget about is worrying about intent. That's something that they tried to change in the summer. Like if you think about all the changes to rules, you know, fouls and all the rest of it, they now focus on the outcome rather than the intent. So, you know, whether Ryan Christie knew about it or whether he tried actually isn't relevant. We used to consider it deliberate handball, and that was your get out then. It used to be, I didn't mean it, didn't know anything about it. The way the rule is written now, Gordon, none of that matters. It doesn't matter.
The rules are completely different now, Gordon. Whether you agree or don't, I really sympathise with Ryan Christie there.
Full time in Copenhagen. Let's get a quick rundown of what happened across those 90 plus minutes with Alison Conroy.
Full time it finished. Copenhagen 0-1, Celtic 1. Celtic with a vital away goal to take back to the second leg in Glasgow, with Fraser Forster saving that second half penalty. Odson Edward almost scored early on. He was through just 20 seconds into the game. Saved twice, then he was denied again soon after, with Ncham also denied by the Copenhagen keeper on the rebound. Odson Edward made it 1-0 in the 14th minute, firing in after some lovely build-up play from Christie and Ncham. They had another couple of chances before Copenhagen started to grow into the game, and Ndoye made it 1-1 after the break, capitalising on some sloppy Celtic defending. VAR came into play in the second half, with Ryan Christie being penalised for a handball. It was a penalty to Copenhagen, upset stage, but he was denied by Fraser Forster in the Celtic goal. There was another couple of chances for Copenhagen, but Celtic held on for that vital draw away from home, and they'll take it back to Glasgow next week. Full time in Copenhagen. Copenhagen 1, Celtic 1.
Let's quickly go to Ibrox and get a final preview with Andrew McLean.
Well, a great atmosphere building here at Ibrox ahead of Rangers' return to the knockout stage of European competition. 9 long years since they were at this stage, and they're taking on a Braga side who are in top form at the moment. Stephen Gerrard's side haven't found their stride since the winter break, but time and time again, the players have shown that at this European stage, they can step up on these nights. Time will tell whether we see the same type of performance from them again tonight.
Right, hopefully Rangers can get the business done. A decent draw for Celtic away from home. You two have still got 5 to get on the teaser, and we're running out of time. Go.
Lee Wallace?
No.
Right.
Begera.
Kenny Miller?
Yeah, Begera, yes.
Begera, yes.
Kenny Miller?
No.
Sonny Aluko?
No.
Nacho Novo?
No.
Brilliant.
El Hadjouf?
No.
Edu?
Yes.
Yes.
Right, you've got a winger still to get.
Oh, Greg Wilde.
Great shout. Well done.
Yes,
Greg Wilde. Brilliant shout. You've got a right back and a centre back.
A right back?
Mm-hmm.
A right back?
Yep.
Did we not say Stephen Whitcomb?
Played in midfield, I think.
Right back, right back, right back.
Right back. Nishos.
RF.
Foster. Richard Foster.
Richard Foster.
Ricky Foster. Aye.
Ricky, aye. Right, who else?
Who else?
Who else? Quick, the tune.
Centre back.
Centre back.
David Weir. Begera.
Begera, we've got them.
Yeah, they must have played 5 or something at the back. KB.
Kurt Broadfoot.
No.
No, was it not? Was it not? Or KB is it?
Kyle Bartley.
You said
I
Bartley.
Said him.
Said it 20 minutes ago.
During the break, I think he must have said it. He didn't say it on air. Anyway, thank you, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL. Copenhagen 1, Celtic 1. Rangers about to kick off against Braga. We will look back on it all tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Cammy Bell is here joining Hugh Keevans.
Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.